we go. Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, March the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. And we're looking forward to doing Palm Sunday readings coming up this Palm Sunday. And we are in the Series B. Series B not only has readings from two Psalms, 118 and 31, Zechariah 9, Philippians 2, John 12, and Mark 14 and Mark 15. In fact, if you to read those two as the gospel, it would take 20 minutes just to read the gospel. So we're going to be taking a look at John 12. Now, Palm Sunday, you would assume that this would be about Jesus coming into Palm Sunday on a donkey, but it is not. In fact, that reading was done during the season of Advent, if you will recall. So, we're taking a look at John chapter 12. Now, this is about an occasion when there was a feast in Jerusalem. Among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. That's verse 20. And we're going to take a look at 21 and following. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, we got to keep in mind that word glory, because it's going to come up later in the text. What does it mean, Jesus will be glorified? The glorification is, of course, referring to his passion. His passion, including his death, because he is going to have placed on his shoulder the sins of the world. And he explains it in verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, we call that a metaphor or an analogy. I don't know if when a farmer plants the seed, they're thinking that it's going to die. Because in my view, if it dies, it just decays and it's gone. But in this case, Jesus is, of course, comparing it to his death. And the seed loses its identity. I mean, you can show various seed to children and ask them, what plant is this going to turn into? And they may not know. Now, if it's corn, that's kind of obvious. But flowers have seeds, and many other plants have seeds. And by looking at the seed, you're not going to be able to figure out what it's going to grow into. So it has to die in the sense that it loses its identity. But from it, much fruit can be born. For example, they may not recognize an apple seed. And yet, if you put that in the ground and it flourishes, what a big tree comes out of that little seed, including many, many apples over the years. So if the seed is put into the ground and there's too much water, or it's eaten by whatever eats seeds underground, then it just disappears. But if it breaks forth the fruit, guess what? Jesus continues, "Whoever loves his life loses it." What? What does that mean? And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Ah, now we understand what Jesus is saying. If you love your life so much that you are not willing to lose it for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, who are such people? Such people are those who are living sinful lives and enjoy it. They may not recognize that they're sinning. In fact, they don't think they are sinning. Take a look at the Pharisees. They would compare themselves to tax collectors and sinners and think, boy, I'm a lot better than those folks are. I really love my life. Whereas, if you'll recall, the tax collector, be merciful to me, a poor sinful being. He hates his life in this world. And hating it results in repentance. And it is repentance that God is looking for as one comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, we heard about that in a recent reading where two of the disciples asked Jesus to sit on his right and on his left. And Jesus said, no, you'll go undergo the baptism I'm going, which means the suffering to martyr's death. But it's not my right to put you on the right or left. That, of course, is the right of the Father. In other words, there were people who wanted to keep the life they had, and they thought they would if they would only be seated on the right and the left. They did not know of what they were asking. Verse 27. Now, this next verse is really important to help you understand what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because people will say, Jesus says, you know, allow this cup to be removed from me. Listen to verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Question mark. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we really can't understand when Jesus says to have the cup removed to be referring to his crucifixion. I believe it's actually referring to the point of death he was near in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so troubled. And an angel was sent in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him, to get him through that possible death in the garden. Because had he died in the garden, Satan would have been victorious. Jesus would not have died as prophesied by a crucifixion. So, Father, glorify your name. Now, if you ask most people, how many times did God the Father speak from heaven? You'll get, well, at his baptism, this is my beloved son, and also at the transfiguration, this is my beloved son. But listen to verse 28. This is John 12. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, the crowd that stood there had heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. What does he mean by that? Because those who understood that the Father was saying that he's going to glorify the name of God again. And that's going to be by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why the voice has come for your sake. That's the reason that the baptism and the transfiguration, this is my beloved son. And remember at the transfiguration, God the Father adds, listen to him. Now, how does Jesus regard his crucifixion? What is the purpose? Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Who's the ruler of this world? None other than Satan. A mighty fortress is our God. On earth is not his equal. And when people sing that, I can't believe how many people think it's talking about Jesus. No. There's no doubt nobody's equal to Jesus because he's God. But on earth, among the rulers of the earth, no one is equal to Satan. Then verse 32 reminds us of something that he had said in John 3. In John 3, if you will recall, it's the reference back to Moses lifting up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. So people who looked at it and had been bitten by the poisonous serpents would be healed. Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now, why did he say that? Well, John explains it in the very next verse, 33. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. I mean, you can't get more clear than that. Being lifted up had to be a crucifixion. Where did Jesus learn that? Had he been given a special vision from God the Father? No, he read the Old Testament. Pierced in hands and feet. That's how he's going to die, according to Psalm 22. And there is no other form of execution except the crucifixion by which one is pierced in hands and feet. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now, the phraseology Son of Man does occur in the Old Testament, and it's one of Jesus' favorite titles in referring to himself. Because though he is also the only begotten Son of God, he's also the Son of Man, having become incarnate with a Virgin Mary. So Jesus answers them, "The light is among you for a little while longer." Now here all you have to do is let Scripture interpret Scripture. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus also says, "I am the light of the world." "Walk," he says, "while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. For the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." You know, I certainly wish, if I ever lose one of my abilities of hearing or speaking or seeing, becoming blind to me would be the worst thing. I was down in the basement where I had my computer, and it got dark. And I went to go up the stairs, and I hadn't had the light on at the top of the stairs. So I was able to get up the stairs because there's a handle I hold on to. And then I turned, and you got to make a kind of a U-turn, go through the hallway, and go into the dining room. And I'll tell you, I bounced onto both sides of the walls. I couldn't. I mean, I've gone up and down those stairs 10,000 times, I guess. But when it was totally dark, I kept bouncing into things on the right and the left. Boy, being blind would be something. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. But while you have the light, now, verse 36 is really important. While you have the light, it doesn't say obey the light. What does it say? While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. This is the whole purpose of the Reformation. That one is saved not by faith plus works, but by faith alone. I mean, it should be pretty obvious that salvation cannot be by obedience, because it was not disobedience that led Adam and Eve to fall into sin. Well, sure it was. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was disobeying God. No. Look more closely. Before Eve ate, she disbelieved the promise of God. Disbelieved the word of God. She thought, perhaps I might die, she says. No, you will die, which happened when they ate the fruit. Because death is simply separation from God, and they went and hid from God. So, the way we become sons of light isn't by becoming more obedient, because you cannot become obedient enough, but through faith in the light. That means believing the promises of the light. For example, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. God sent his Son into the world. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. When Jesus had said these things, verse 36 continues, he departed and hid himself from them. Now, why did he do that? Why didn't he stay and keep proclaiming the message of the gospel? Verse 37 gives us an insight. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. Ooh. I thought when he did these miracles, they did believe that he was the Messiah. Well, yes and no. But the Messiah they believed in was not the one characterized by the Bible. Remember after the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus recognized that they were coming, rushing to him to make him a secular king. He himself says after the feeding of the 5,000, they saw the sign but did not recognize the meaning of the sign. What does he mean by that? The feeding of the 5,000 was not to bring people to a conclusion that this is our new king who will get rid of the Romans, restore Israel to its former grandeur, and give us all that we need in food and drink. No. As he said to the disciples of John the Baptizer, the reason these signs are done is to point forward that I am truly the Son of Man who has been promised to come into the world to take away the sins of the world. John the Baptizer recognized that. Behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Well, what happens until you get faith from the Holy Spirit, you will not believe that Jesus is the Christ, no matter how many signs or miracles you see. Remember, in the last days, even the devil is going to have the ability to do signs and wonders. But you need to listen to the words of the devil versus the words of Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, it quotes from Isaiah, where it is clear that many people could see the miracles, but they did not understand with their hearts. And see, that shows me particularly that you cannot reason anybody into believing in Jesus Christ, because you have to have a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, David says in Psalm 51, renew a right spirit within me. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. So all those people who think that they came to faith because they made a choice, they're taking away credit from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the promises of the gospel when they are heard to create that faith. Now, there's no doubt that there were many, even in the authorities, who believed in him. Listen to verse 42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. We get a perfect example of that in John chapter 9 with the man born blind. The parents are approached by the Pharisees. Is this your son? What happened to him? Oh, he's our son, but he's of age. You go talk to him. And it says specifically they would not answer the Pharisees because they were afraid of being taken out of the synagogue, excommunicated, so to speak. Although that's not really what happens. They're just thrown out of the synagogue, not allowed to worship there. And, of course, that's what happened to the man born blind. He had a big argument with the Pharisees. And I just love that section in John chapter 9. Do you want to be his disciples also? No. Now, why did the authorities who believed in Jesus but refused to confess him because of their fear of what the Pharisees would do to them, what was the real reason for their refusal to confess him? It's verse 43, and it's a beautiful summary of why I sin and you sin daily and why we are at many times unwilling to confess Jesus. Listen to verse 43. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Now, how is that possible? If you have a choice, you can be honored by men if you do these sins, or you can be honored by God if you believe his promises. Who would ever choose the former? Well, Adam and Eve did. No, you will not die if you eat of that. In fact, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. And once more, the devil does a white lie. Yes, they will know now good and evil, but not in the way that God knows it, in the sense that God does evil. No, they're going to do evil, and they're going to recognize that. This section in John 12 is just really an interesting section, because it shows once more that regardless of the miracles that Jesus did, people never come to faith because of a miracle, unless they have the trust in the Old Testament passages, which point to these miracles as the proof that he is the Son of Man, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the one who has come to be lifted up so that he can draw all people to him. With the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Belief in Jesus is what saves. And you can help a person come to that faith not by sharing the law, which needs to be done originally so they know they need a Savior, but by definitely witnessing to them the gospel about what Jesus has done for them to save them for an eternity. That's John chapter 12, and it is an assigned reading for Palm Sunday. Normally tomorrow we do the hymn, but we're not going to be doing that because Pastor Mark Smith is on assignment. So we're going to be doing the hymn on Wednesday. And tomorrow instead, we're going to be talking about that God does forget. He does. We'll talk about that tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.